Thank you, Barrett. If you've marked your songbooks, if you would please take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We're going to start with a text there in just a few moments. It's been a good day. It's been good to be with one another this morning. We hope that your time with the saints at this place you found to be edifying and encouraging. And we hope that if you're visiting with us, you'll come and be with us at any opportunity that you have. And as we often say, but we mean sincerely, if you have any questions or any discussion you want to have about the work and the things that we do here, we'd love the opportunity to be able to talk with you about those things. I want to ask you the question, how patient are you? And that may be applicable to many areas of life, whether you're talking about patience with one another, patience with your children, patience with your parents, patient with your employer or your employees. You know, it is hard to wait, isn't it? It may be that there are things in our life that we want to change. It may be that there are things in our life that we want to somehow be different. And it is hard to be patient as it relates to those things. I want us to ask the question, what does the Bible teach us about patience? And I want us to devote our last period of Bible study today to asking this question. And let's just survey a little bit what the Bible teaches us about patience. First of all, I want us to notice that the Bible describes God as the God of patience. In Romans chapter 15, I'd like for us to read in Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 2, and we'll go down to verse 6, and we're going to notice not only is God identified as the God of patience, but we learn something about the purpose of Old Testament Scripture and how it relates to patience, beginning in verse 2 of Romans chapter 15. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, notice this, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting that here, as it sets up this passage that ultimately we'll talk about God as the God of patience, it tells us that the Scriptures are offered to teach us patience. And we'll touch on that a little bit more a little bit later in our lesson. But let's think about that as we look to the Word of God. Let's see in its examples, let's see in its record of the lives of men and women that have gone before us, what we can learn about patience. But notice, this passage describes the fact that God is the God of patience and comfort. And, you know, one of the first things that comes to my mind as we think about that is the fact that absolutely God demonstrates his patience with us. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We noticed in our first lesson the chaos that our world finds itself in. And sometimes, for we as Christians, when we look at that, it can be a little bit discouraging because we sometimes don't like the direction the world is going in. We sometimes wonder why it is that the Lord continues to allow things to go as they are. I want us to consider in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 a very important reason that God allows the world to continue. Notice, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And in the context, it's talking about the promise of judgment, the promise of this time in which the current universe, the current heaven and earth will one day be dissolved and the Lord will return in judgment. He's not slack. That is, he's not delaying. He's not just forgetting that he made these promises. Notice, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. The New American Standard uses the word patient, is patient or long-suffering toward us, notice, not willing that any should perish,
but that all should come to repentance. There are those that even now stand outside of fellowship with God in Christ. There are those that in their sin, if the Lord were to return now, would be lost. But we learn something about the God of patience, that He continues to bear with us, patiently waiting and giving us opportunity for repentance. You know, the Bible teaches that Christians should imitate the patience of Christ. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And let's read together, beginning in verse 1, and we'll go down to verse 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, notice, and into the patience of Christ. In this morning's bulletin, one of the points that we deal with is how in the establishment of the church in Thessalonica, they immediately faced intense persecution. They immediately faced great difficulty. In the epistles that Paul writes to this church that was born in such hardship and persecution were written, we believe, shortly after his time with them. Isn't it interesting that as he talks to them a little bit about that, he makes this prayer or this plea that God would direct their hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. How is it that we may learn from the patience of Christ? Well, certainly Christ was patient with his disciples. There were many occasions on which the disciples were so consumed with material greatness or material things. They wanted to see when he was going to establish his kingdom. They wanted to see who was going to be greatest. And he was patient with them. And he was also patient with an unbelieving world. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And, you know, we see in the record of the life of Jesus, the fact that he demonstrated his miraculous power on specific occasions to demonstrate his deity. It was not that he healed every sick person. It was not that every difficulty he took away. But after so many occasions on which he had demonstrated that he had not only fulfilled Old Testament prophecy and was in fact the Messiah, but in the miracles that he performed was in fact God in the flesh, he demonstrated that he was who he said he was. And yet in spite of that, so often, those around him did not believe or did not have the kind of faith to do the things that he had told them to do. In Matthew chapter 17, beginning of verse 15, we see an example of this, and I want us to notice a statement that Jesus makes as we think about how is it that we should imitate the patience of Christ. Listen to what our text tells us. Matthew 17, beginning of verse 15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Notice this. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, aside from the miraculous aspect of this, think about Jesus' words here, because he had given his disciples power to perform miracles. And yet in this case, they did not have the faith to carry out what he had, even the power that he had granted to them. Think about Jesus as he had borne with these people and done so many things. His response and his wording there is interesting. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. You know, we are in an age now in which, while Jesus has not walked among us, we have the benefit of having the revelation of God complete. We have the benefit of seeing how all of the scheme of God from creation was fulfilled in Jesus Christ coming, offering himself as a sacrifice for sin, and becoming that Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, becoming that one who is set forth as the head of the church. And yet so often our world is unbelieving and perverse as well. So we think about this idea of the patience of Christ that we should imitate. He was patient not only with his disciples, but he continues to be patient with an unbelieving world. As we think further about what the Bible teaches us about patience, you know, sometimes I think we may have a tendency to think that things like patience or things like self-control are just qualities that, you know, some people have them, some people don't. I remember years ago talking to a Christian man that was talking about his temper. And he described it in such a way that he almost made it sound as if, well, you know, that's just who I am. I can't do anything about it. We may view patience that way. We may think, well, I'm just not a very patient person. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I want us to notice that patience, like so many qualities of the life in Christ, is something that we should not have an attitude that just says, well, some have it, some don't, I don't have it. Instead, we need to recognize it is something that must be pursued. That is, we must chase it, we must strive for it, we must try to make it something that is a part of our life, whether it is now to the degree that it ought to be or not. Begin with me, 1 Timothy chapter 6. The subject is what we were dealing with in our adult class this morning, the subject of money. He starts by saying, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things," notice this, "and pursue." What does it mean to pursue? You know, if I am pursuing, if I'm a predator and I am pursuing prey, I'm chasing after it. Notice, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, notice, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Think about that idea. That indicates that this, along with these other qualities, is not something that comes automatically. It is something we must strive to develop. It is something we must strive to put into our life. Maybe I'm not as patient as I ought to be now. Don't let yourself be content in that condition. Instead, strive, pursue to become more patient. The Bible teaches us that Christians must be patient in hardships. Go up into Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, in this great chapter that focuses on love and the great attitudes of love that we ought to demonstrate. Let's notice in Romans chapter 12, begin with me in verse 10. And I want us to notice as we go down what it tells us about patience as it relates to difficulties that we may face. Beginning in verse 10, it says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope." Listen to this. "Patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Now, think about that. First of all, what is tribulation? Tribulation is just a way of describing various kinds of hardship. It might be hardship due to persecution. It might be hardship due to natural causes such as illness or some difficulty or some disaster. But notice here, right after saying that we must rejoice in hope, we must be patient in hardships. You know, the Bible tells us quite a bit about this relationship between patience and hardship or tribulation. For example, go up into James chapter 1. James, through the Holy Spirit, will teach us that, you know, while none of us wants to face tribulation and hardship, in Christ, we can recognize that hardship is not just something that has no purpose. It's not just something that tears us apart and is intended to make things worse for us. The Christian can recognize that as I go through some difficulty, like Job, and I am faithful to the Lord in that difficulty, there is a benefit that can come from it. Notice James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith," listen to this, "produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You know, as we think about this, maybe when we looked at the first points on this PowerPoint, you said, "Well, you know, I don't have much patience." Well, what does James 1 tell us about how patience can be produced? We may not like it, but sometimes tribulation or hardship can be that very kind of thing. The testing of our faith can be that very kind of thing that can help produce patience in our life. You know, until we've gone through some circumstance in which our patience is tested, some circumstance in which we face some challenge, we may not really know and recognize that we need to wait for the Lord. We need to be patient. We need to endure and make it through, and not just abandon faith, not just throw our hands up in the air when we face some difficulty. You know, the book of James tells us a great deal about the subject of patience. And we noticed earlier that the scriptures are offered to give us patience and to teach us patience. One way in which that's the case, go over to James chapter 5. And let's look at verses 10 through 11. James will tell us that the prophets, those who have gone before, those that were given the revelation of God and the record of their lives that we have in Scripture, they serve as examples to us of patience. And one that is mentioned specifically, I want us to notice, because we talked a little bit in our class just a few moments ago in the adult auditorium class about this very individual. James 5, beginning of verse 10. "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure." Listen to this. "You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." You know, the account of Job gives us an example that, yes, the Lord allowed Job to go through some difficulty, but even within his own life, the Lord granted deliverance, didn't he? That becomes a snapshot for us of what we can hope for. Now, it may not be that in our life we go through some difficulty and we can expect, like Job, at the end of his life to be granted material riches. But the point is that when we remain faithful to the Lord, we have those riches in heaven. We have those treasures in heaven that await us. And the example of Job and his patience teach us that we too should be patient. You know, one of the areas in which perhaps all of us struggle the most in the matter of patience is when it comes to our interaction with one another. Whether it's those within our family, those who we go to school with, those that we work with, often people will say things or do things that may have habits that are annoying to us or things that are just difficult for us. Maybe people are not progressing as quickly as we wish they would. Maybe it's not that things are happening in their lives as quickly
as they would.
The Bible teaches us that as Christians, we need to have an attitude that demonstrates patience with all. That makes sense, doesn't it? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's look at verse 14.
If we noticed at the beginning, the God we serve is a God of all patience. He's patient with us. We noticed at the beginning that we are to imitate the patience of Christ. If we are imitating the one who is patient with us, doesn't it follow that we need to learn to be patient with one another? Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak." It's interesting, several categories. You're going to have those that are weak. You're going to have those that maybe are actually unruly. You're going to be those that are faint-hearted. That is, they just don't have the strength. They're fainting in their faith, so to speak. But notice he ends this passage by saying, "Be patient with all." You know, I'm certainly grateful that the Lord is patient with me, with all of my failings and all of my ups and downs. The least that I can do, the least that all of us can do, is to strive to be patient with one another. But I want us to shift gears for a little bit, and in the last part of our lesson, I want us to think a little bit about patience as it relates to the Lord's coming. Once again, in the book of James, go back to James chapter 5, and I want us to notice in James chapter 5, verses 7 through 8, some points that James, through the Holy Spirit, tells us about patience as it relates to the day of judgment. We noticed in 2 Peter earlier that the Lord is patient. He's giving us the opportunity to repent. But as we live our lives, whether we go through difficulty, whether we face temptation, whether it's a matter of, you know, I obeyed the gospel years ago, but I don't know if it's really worth it. The matter of patience has to do with our faithfulness as we await for the coming of the Lord. James 5, beginning verse 7, says, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." You know, the picture there of a farmer is interesting. Because given the comparison that's made here, it's almost as if James is trying to get us to see our lives as something in which, all right, when I obey the gospel, I'm planting a seed like that farmer does. And I'm waiting for that time in which I'll be able to bear the fruits of that seed. It'll sprout and it'll blossom, and one day I'll be able to benefit from the harvest that's brought forth. It doesn't happen immediately. It takes some time. And James, in essence, is pointing out to us that our life is like that farmer waiting for the harvest. We can't become impatient. We can't say, well, you know, I thought it was going to be different. I thought something was going to be different than it is now. We've got to be patient for the coming of the Lord. You know, in the parable of the sower that is recorded in all three of the Gospels, this idea of planting the Word of God in the heart is described as allowing the seed to grow. And you'll remember that it is pictured as falling on different types of soil. In Luke's account of this, in Luke chapter 8 and in verse 15, I want you to notice the specific wording that applies to that good ground, where the word takes root and the word grows. I want you to notice specifically the way it is described as it relates to bearing fruit. And remember that bearing fruit is living life as I ought to in Christ. Luke 8, verse 15. "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it," listen to this, "and bear fruit with patience." You know, our life in Christ is not going to be something in which we are always on fire. Sometimes there'll be ups, sometimes there'll be downs. But patience is the key. We must bear fruit with patience. In the Gospel of Luke, look over a few chapters in Luke chapter 21.
And I want us to notice there, in the context of talking about some of the difficulties that those who are children of God will face, he mentions the idea of persecution. And I want you to notice some interesting wording in Luke chapter 21, beginning verse 16, and go with me down to verse 19, and let's think about this idea of patience, specifically as it's worded near the end of our reading. Verse 16, "You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost." Listen to this. "By your patience, possess your souls." In many respects, we can think of it that whether or not our soul will be lost or our soul will be saved, yes, it has to do with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is not our merit that can accomplish our salvation, but it is to us to continue to cling to that sacrifice. And that requires patience. By patience, we possess our souls. Over in Hebrews chapter 6, notice with me some wording in Hebrews chapter 6 as it describes this idea of patience as it relates to the promises of God. Hebrews chapter 6, and let's read beginning in verse 9. The Holy Spirit through the Hebrew writer says, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who," notice this, "through faith and patience inherit the promises." You know, it is an inheritance. It is something we are granted by the Lord. But we will only grant it if we maintain that faith and patience that looks toward that coming of the Lord. I want us to end with a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And let's read together verses 2 and 3. I mentioned a few moments ago the great difficulty in which the church in Thessalonica was born. From the very beginning, they were persecuted. And Paul writes these two epistles to them only a short time after having been with them. But I want us to notice how he talks about patience and he talks about what they are looking forward to. And it goes to this idea of the patience that we show looking towards and awaiting the coming of our Lord. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, begin in verse 2. Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father." We are hoping for Christ. We are looking forward to that time in which He will come and He will deliver us from this place. Will it come quickly? You know, as a kid, if you knew that some prize was coming, some present was coming, couldn't get it quick enough, could you? It's difficult to be patient. If we're not careful, we'll have that same kind of impatience as adults. But I hope we've noticed in our survey this morning of what the Bible teaches about patience, what an important thing it is in our service to the Lord. We don't get things, perhaps, as quickly as we would like them. But sometimes there can be benefit in that. We grow in strength. We grow in patience as we endure certain things that we must face. And thanks be to God, His patience is not because He's forgotten about us, but because there are souls that stand outside of a relationship with God in Christ. There are souls that if the Lord was not patient, would be lost eternally. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Christ,
You must recognize God has been patient with you. He has delayed His coming, perhaps not just for you, but for those like you who have yet to repent and turn in obedience to the gospel. Would you not put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God? Confess that faith before those who are here and commit yourself to a life of confession of Christ. Repent of sin that separates you from God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And you too then can patiently wait for that inheritance. Patiently wait for the coming of our Lord with joy. We can help you with that. Won't you come? Always stand and sing.